From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.
EW to his friends, Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Rap. This week, a consumer special where we try to save you some money. We do try to save you some money.
Money.
We like money. One interesting place I found on the net, which is absolutely stunning to have a look at, is approvedfood.co.uk.
Approved food?
Approved food. And on approved...
I've not eaten today, have you?
No.
Oh, let's go and have a look at approved food.
No, don't you do it. You'll mess it up. But I'm sure Mark can go on to approved food.
Oh, yes, right. Yeah, don't you mess with the internet. Ah, Mark can do that.
Shut up. Approvedfood.co.uk is a great place if you're prepared to accept non-branded goods. Oh, yeah. And you can get goods that would normally cost you about £2 in the UK at prices around 40 pence.
That's very good.
What are you buying for that?
All sorts of weird and wonderful stuff. You know, from coffee, all your general run-of-the-mill stuff.
Bacon.
But where does it come from?
It comes from where the food is going to... Well, see, the supermarkets demand a very long shelf life on food.
Yeah.
And if it is that it's got, like, 6 weeks to go, they won't even take it in.
Right.
So what you'll find is there are sites like this that will... Buy direct, or in fact, yeah. there's a huge distribution unit in Liverpool where some of the bigger branded stores get rid of their stock.
I know. But do you have to go to the supermarket in question to buy it?
No. You can have it delivered
to home. Online.
You do it online.
Right, yeah, but I mean, you know, are they representing food here from all sorts of different supermarkets, and you've got to order from different places?
From the one site. And, approvedfood.co.uk, and you can buy all sorts of things. You know, like the big jars of coffee that cost about £5 in the supermarket?
Yes.
They cost sort of like £2 on this shop.
£2.99, in fact, I see here. Limited to 10. And, I mean, you could buy these and resell them on eBay.
Stop it!
And cream eggs. Do you like cream eggs?
I love cream eggs.
19 pence.
I know.
If you get more than 10, they're only 10 pence. I mean, that's a phenomenal reduction.
Absolutely.
So that's that's a pound.
Yeah. It is. They're 19p each or 10 for a pound. I mean, at what point how many do you have to buy at 19p? You have to buy 6, and then you might as well buy the other 4 because they're free.
Exactly.
That's what it is, actually. Exactly. It's buy right. 6. Buy 6 at 19p, get 4 free.
Yeah. Now, is that not a good way to save you money?
And you're limited
it's
to 240
per customer. It's a brilliant way to save yourself money.
Yeah.
And the other thing that is a really good thing like this, I actually did buy a load of curries, right, from a similar place. Curries, as in Vindaloo.
Mm-hmm.
And won't. I bought 50 packets of basic curry mix from a company in Northampton, who do exactly the same as this. And instead of them being around £2 a packet, I got them for 38p a packet. Mm. They kept us going on real McCoy, spiritually fabulous Indian curries for over a year.
They did keep you going for a year
exactly.
as well.
Yeah. I'm not going away from the subject, but I'm going to highlight a point here that we've mentioned on the programme before. That my late father was in the retail industry for many, many years, I think about 30, and I'm still alive. And when I was younger, we didn't throw stuff away because the date was out. The date is a best before date. And if you keep stuff in a freezer or get stuff in the fridge, whatever, you can save huge amounts of money by just shopping at the right time. So if your budget's a bit tight and you've got to go on holiday soon, you think they're saving some money, look at approvedfood.co.uk. Look at other places where you can buy that food, which allegedly people say, you've got to eat it by tomorrow. No, That's what they say is the best before day.
Well, that's what I keep. Right. That's what I keep trying to tell my partner. And I buy stuff with a best before date, and I put it in the freezer. And every now and then, she routinely goes through the freezer, and anything she finds that's past the date, she throws it out.
Rhubarb.
And I've been unable to prevent it for years.
Is a really good.
A what, Lee?
Dear, a tip.
A tip, right.
Yes, a tip.
I carefully faded you there for a second. I think you're fading yourself at the moment. Go on, give us your top tip quick.
Right.
No, he's struggling. I should point out, boys and girls, that Lee's and BT have been very honest about it, so there's a problem in the connection that Lee's using today. So it's a bit hit and miss as to whether he stays with us. Are you back, Lee?
I'm not been aware, huh?
Yes, and you're breaking up badly. But anyway, try your top tip now.
Well, the top tip is, ladies and gentlemen, very simple. Only buy food from supermarkets that has yellow stickers on it. It revolutionised our culinary life here because you never know what you're going to buy. You might buy a curry. You might buy a spaghetti. You might buy a Malaysian meal because it's been reduced by 75%, and each night you have no idea what exciting and dramatic food you will take on as you pick that little yellow sticker up and bring it home and eat it with your missus.
Each morning you have no idea what a dramatic and exciting experience you're going to have.
And we are coming.
No, I think it's great advice. I think you're absolutely right.
And I think we'll add this one in now. I was going to come on to it later. Shop around sensibly. Be sensible.
We don't have a sensibly round here. We have a waiter.
Love it. What you'll find in retail is that supermarkets, even the corner shop, they all have what are called loss leaders, which you and I know as special offers.
Yeah.
The fact is that if you see coffee or sugar or milk at the front end on special offer, buy it from there. Absolutely. Buy as much as you can afford. And then go to the next shop. Don't waste money, you know, going backwards and forwards. Plan your shopping. Look online, because you can do that these days. See what X, Y, and Z supermarkets are selling as the special offers. Yeah. Build that up in a little store cupboard, and you, again, will save yourself a fortune.
Pretend you're preparing for a nuclear war, ladies and gentlemen.
Absolutely.
It makes it really exciting and on the edge of your seat.
Yeah. I mean, people have to be aware that, you know, a loss leader is designed to price something pretty cheaply in the hope that you're going to stay in the supermarket and buy a load of other stuff that may be a more expensive price. Of course, the real trick for those of you who can do this is to get yourself a smartphone with a bar scanner on it.
Yep.
And if you've got the time, then to start really shopping and using your scanner and then do some real price comparisons online.
I can hear everybody at the moment, Mark, screaming, I haven't got the time. But if you think about it, already today we've given you some advice on saving hundreds and hundreds of pounds.
Probably millionaires by now, ladies.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's Derek Trotter, I know.
That's it. Half a pig will always do well in your freezer, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
You can buy half a pig a lot cheaper than you can buy it in little bits.
Absolutely. And if you take a few moments to plan your shopping, the amount of money you would make per hour doing it will probably be more than you'd make at work.
Probably more than you actually earn, ladies and gentlemen.
Stop it. And the other one thing from the supermarkets is, if somebody like a main supermarket wants to give you a loyalty card, in other words, when you go to the checkout, they say, have you got one of our cards? You say no. What you've actually done is just lost money.
You have, in a way, but the problem with the loyalty cards is, and this is the whole sort of system that fails in this way, it doesn't fail for the businesses, but it fails for the people, is that you end up spending more on things that you don't necessarily want to build up your loyalty to a company that is only there to make money off you.
No,
they don't want your loyalty, except for you. The loyalty they're demanding is that you spend your money with them.
That's absolutely right. But just if you get a free loyalty card, then I mean, you're not obliged to spend with them. You know, the thing is, don't use it as a slavery card.
Then you're not going to get.
Can I just say, by the way, the loyalty card model, the loyalty card business model they use in France is that you actually have to buy it. And typically you pay 30 quid for a loyalty card, which then lasts you for a year.
Does it then work better than an English loyalty card?
No, let me take it this way. There's a well-known high street shop in the UK, which if you have a card will now enable you to come to Slovakia, for example, buy goods here, and they swipe the card, and you get the benefit back. And you will actually get that in vouchers, in monetary terms now. I know you have to spend them in the same shop, but when you consider the other week, my Martina had saved up something like, over quite a long period of time, I agree, but she got 25 euros, which is 20 quidish.
Now, what did she do with that?
She just spent it in the shop. She literally went in and spent the vouchers in the shop.
Yeah.
On things.
What's that got to do with a company in England, though?
Because it's the same card that's available all over Europe now.
Oh, right, yeah, of course.
And they want you to spend it in Slovakia?
No, you can spend it in England or Slovakia. It's up to you.
That was totally misleading statement on your side then, Mr. Eric Wiltshire.
I don't think so, but never mind. Let's move on. But
can I tell you a quick story about...
You go on, Mark.
Sorry, Lee. I'm going to tell you a quick story about...
I was going to say... Go on.
Flipping heck.
I was going to tell you a quick story about...
Blindness.
Hold on. I'm going to turn the fader down a minute. Right.
This is the
rehearsal moment. Mark, can you go first, please?
I was going to tell you a quick story about buying celery in France. In England and in other civilized places, I believe that they sell celery by the piece, by the stick, a stick of celery. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes,
by the unit. In France, they sell it by weight, by the kilo.
Ah.
And so what happens? People come into the shop. They take the stick of celery and they pluck out the heart and all the nice bits in the middle they want, and they leave the rest of it.
Well, they have. They
so,
have
if you come in by the end of the day, believe me, what's left on a celery, you just wouldn't want to feed to your dog.
Fine, okay. Well, actually, it's the same.
Can I just do mine now?
Go on, then.
Yeah.
Stop.
No, this is a serious thing. What I'm just thinking of, because of the fascinating subject that we're doing on this show. I think this is a brilliant show. We should have done this ages ago.
Thank you.
And the point I want to do now, ladies and gentlemen, and everybody else, what I think we should all do is, you know, on a Friday night when you go for your kebab after the pubs are shut, go into the kebab house and order a doner kebab, and then, as he puts it on the counter in front of you, start to negotiate on the price. See what happens. I'm going to do it.
That once he's cooked it, it's a bit unfair.
That's unfair. That is really wrong. You have to negotiate before it.
They built the car you want to negotiate on.
The what?
They built the car you want to negotiate on. Yes, what's the difference? They built a kebab for you. You say, all right.
It's a bit more personalised.
I think so. Let's move on. Reminder from Mark last week, who mentioned Zopa as a place to lend or borrow money from. And it is really important as we're looking at saving money. Think about your credit cards. Think about your bank loans. Think about things where you, especially credit cards, which can be ridiculously high prices. Store cards, even worse. If you borrow from this particular company, which Mark will fill in the gaps in a minute, you can actually save yourself loads of money. So you spend like 50 quid with these people, get your money out, pay the credit card off, and over a period of time, you are going to save yourself a fortune.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's absolutely right. But another way of borrowing or lending, in fact, is, in other words, saving. You know, when you're lending money, really what you're doing is you're saving money, is using this thing that's rather up and coming, which is called peer-to-peer lending. Mm-hmm. And the idea here really is that you're cutting out the middle person, being the bank, which is never a bad thing. If you want to save, what you do really is that you're lending money to Sopra, and instead of the 2% or 3%, if you're lucky, probably 2% that you'll get from a bank nowadays.
That's a French emergency service, by the way.
That's a French emergency service in the background there, that's right.
It's an ice cream man.
They don't have ice cream men in France, actually. I don't know why. But if instead of lending it whatever it is, what niggardly percent that the banks are prepared to give you, you put it into a Zopa fund along with thousands of other people. And you can get typically, say, 7%. The money is lent out to borrowers. And instead of borrowing money at, say, unsecured, we're talking about here, at 10, 12, 15 more percent, you can be borrowing money from about 8% upwards. I mean, it's just really quite fantastic. And, of course, it's very satisfying to have some proper competition against the banks.
As a matter of interest, though, Who's actually underwriting Zopper and protecting your money? If you lend money to this Zopper organisation, how's your money protected?
This is the problem. I mean, this is a very important question, okay? The fact is it's unregulated and your money is not protected, okay? That's the first thing.
Right.
But the second thing is that the idea here is that your money is lent out in lumps. So if you for instance, lend or if you save, if you lend £500, your money will be distributed amongst borrowers in a maximum amount of, say, £10 only per borrower. Right. The idea being is that with this large-scale distribution, your risk of losing is very, very low. And they do have a loss rate. They are bad payers, but they're reckoning that it's something like 1% at the moment, which is considerably less than you stand to make. The other thing, by the way, is that I'm afraid that this is not subprime. If you want to borrow, you won't be able to borrow here if your credit rating is at all has problem or in question at all.
You mean they've in distress?
Well, they've got very, very high level checks, okay?
And all you have to do is miss
one repayment and immediately everything will be locked down on you. So, you know, it can be very, very tough, but providing you are, you know, you've got a great credit history, you've got a job and all this sort of thing, and they check you out very, very thoroughly, this is the way to go. I mean, if you do have that kind of credit worthiness, then why on earth pay this huge amount of money to banks, where the banks really are charging you this amount of money because they're taking on greater risk?
Mm. Well, because if you think about it seriously, and I mean this quite honestly, if you go to an organisation like Zopper, to borrow money or to lend money, like you say, you could be getting 7%. Say you got £100,000.
Yes.
You'd be getting £700 a month, roughly, off that in interest, which would be a really good return on your money.
Yes.
But, in fact, you can go to places still through the traditional banking system where you could beat that rate by not a substantial amount, but you could beat it. And your money would be as completely unsecured and unsafe as it would be with this organisation. Mm. And if it, with the bank, where you borrowed money, if you borrowed money, and you missed a payment, mortgage companies don't work any differently than this now, they will unleash the wrath of hell upon you for missing a payment. Mm. What's the benefit to going to a place that borrows money but doesn't make sure it's secure, gives you a tenner, charges you loads of money in interest rates, and then causes you grief because you're a poor person, you get in trouble? What a load of rubbish.
No.
I think you're going to find that the banks are going to start getting quite worried about this kind of lending.
Yep.
And by coincidence, just during this week, I started having an interview with a Radio 4 producer who is doing a series of pieces to replace Moneybox on Radio 4, which is on holiday during the summer. And one of the programmes will actually be on peer-to-peer lending. Another one, incidentally, will be on PPI, and we've got a couple of good stories in there as well.
Okay, let's move on then, because you're going to cover it on Radio 4.
I'll just let you know very quickly, the hot news is that one of our people has just had a refund of £64,000 in PPI money.
Well done, you. Yeah. Round of applause. Yes, absolutely. Let's look at something that probably will interest young Lee as much as anybody else, and it's an organisation, called FreeCycle.org.
I know FreeCycle.
They've got places all over the world. Yeah. And I actually looked this morning in the city of London.
It's a very good thing, really.
It is. It's amazing. If you've got just enough money to buy a house and you were struggling a bit on the furniture and you lived in the centre of London, you could have furnished your house from this particular site at no money whatsoever. I mean, how cool is that?
I think it's a brilliant thing, and I think what it should do now, and I wish more people knew about these organisations like FreeCycle, and because of their existence, started to actually ignore and boycott charity shops. Charity shops do nothing, ladies and gentlemen, but rip you off.
No, they don't. I'm not so sure about that.
But if you want to get a deal, then you can probably do better, because I think the prices in charity shops aren't going up.
You would not get a deal at a charity shop. And I would like to defend what I say about charity shops. Mm. They get the stuff for nothing.
Yeah.
They actually sift the stuff that they get to make sure that whatever is special in there does never appear in a charity shop for public consumption.
They take it to auction.
Absolutely. Yeah. But the ethos behind a charity shop, and I'm sure Mark will back me on this, is that they are there to help the people who are poor, not to help the people who are rich. They wish to raise money for the charity by helping other people. No longer do most charity shops do that.
They wouldn't agree with that.
Well, I'm quite close to somebody who is involved in the RSPCA, and I help them a lot in respect of RSPCA shops. And I don't think that's right. I think all of the money is actually devoted to animals. I don't think it's very well run. I don't think they run it very efficiently.
Nobody's suggested for a second that the money doesn't go to the right place. What I'm talking about is the way that they actually cynically raise money.
No, you're assuming that the shop does two things. In my mind, the shop's there to do one thing, which is take goods in, make money from them to support a charity.
That is not what the ethos behind charity shops is. That's what I'm saying. The ethos behind charity shops is that they were safe havens where people could go, i.e. like Freecycle, and furnish their houses for very little money. That's what they were done there.
We'll have to agree to disagree on that one. Something else where you can save loads of money, and even against the big supermarkets, one of the biggest rip-offs on the planet for years has been ink cartridges for printers.
Oh, don't tell me
they have the most unbelievable prices. And in fact, a couple of years ago, there was a whole bunch of directives came out about them in the EU because they were just taking the mickey big time. But you can save loads and loads of money by looking at sites like cartridgepeople.com, where you can get recycled cartridges. You can save loads of money. And don't forget, when you buy a printer in a shop, the reason it's cheap is because they want you to buy the printer cartridges afterwards.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's not the other way around.
Printers are a rip-off. Mm. You can't deny printers are a rip-off. They're as big a rip-off as charity shops.
Here we go. And another top tip from an Eric. Do you know
from
what?
An Eric?
Yeah, do you know what? We all talk about these, what I would call la-di-da coffee shops that are everywhere. There's millions of them. Absolute millions of them. Mark, what's the average cost of a takeaway coffee in Paris? Do you know?
I really don't know. I mean, I don't know about takeaway. I mean, takeaway is not big. I suppose it's catching on a bit, but really it's in the cap. I don't know what the cost is.
Well,
probably, let me see, a couple of quid?
Yeah, probably. Well, let me just paint you a picture. You can go to your average discount shop and buy a nice, pretty stainless steel polished flask. You can make a cup of coffee in it for your lunch break. It will cost you less than 30p 30 cents, and you've saved yourself a couple of quid a day.
Absolutely. But you have to bear in mind that the coffee shops, the time when coffee went up from 50p or 60p a cup to £2.30 a cup and more was one of the most cynical moves perpetuated against society. Because all of a sudden, overnight, when a specific coffee shop came into being, everybody put the price of coffee up. And a few weeks ago, I was talking to a little cafe owner in a market town not far from here who were upset because a Costa coffee had moved into town and they thought it was going to do them a load of damage. I suggested to them, dead simply, all you do is make Nescafe coffee, instant coffee, make it well, make it nice, make it strong, and serve that at 60p a cup instead of the £2.50 or £3 they're charging around the corner. And your shop will be filled. And guess what? He's now doing Nescafe or instant coffee at 60p a cup, and he is doing an outrageously strong business because of it.
Okay, there is one other thing I'd like to add at this point when we're talking about shopping and buying things. There is a danger, boys and girls, that when we humans have, and marketeers know about it, it's a thing called the impulse buy.
Yeah.
And marketeers will work on it like mad. When you go shopping, shop for what you really, really need.
Beer.
No. Shop for what you don't need beer. Shop for what you really, really need. And if it is that you are going to buy something from one of the high street stores that does cost a sizable amount of money, like £100 or even £50, have a look at voucher sites. There's a whole bunch of them out there now which entice you to shop in certain branded shops. And if you take one of their vouchers in, you can genuinely get, and maybe you're nervous about negotiating, you can use the voucher code system as a way of getting a rather large discount from a lot of high street brands. And if they're daft enough to offer these up, you should take them.
Yeah. Of course you should. Mm. It's like there's a new fizzy fruit drink out now that you can drink and wash your hands with. It's called sanitizer.
Ha ha.
Hmm.
Ha ha. Right. Okay, let's move on. And a couple.
Can I say we haven't mentioned eBay?
No.
And I mean, eBay is really phenomenal, and you can still get huge bargains there. And I have to say, personally, I buy everything on eBay. I'm talking about all my clothes, my bikes, my pretty well everything, apart from my underwear. eBay,
the problem with eBay.
Wear top labels. I mean, I'm super swish with a label thing, and I can tell you what, costs more than about a tenner.
The problem with eBay is, very simply, and this is mainly a problem that's been created in the UK for eBay, is that eBay sales are going down and down and down in the UK for one very simple reason, that the cost of packaging and postage now is ludicrous. Mm. And you can buy an item on eBay for, what, £20, and it is double the price by the time you put the postage on, and people are stopping doing it.
Okay. Well, if that happens, and if the sales do go down, then it simply means that the auction prices will be cheaper, because that's the way auctions work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which then defeats the object.
We've got 2 minutes left, boys and girls, so I'm going to run through a couple of tips for you. There's some very nicely laid out shops, and a lot of people at the moment are saving money by doing their own home repairs. Don't always necessarily look at the pretty fronted shops, because more often than not, shops like Wickes, which don't have the flashy fronts, don't have all the other flashy bits inside, are actually a lot cheaper than some of the painted and pretty shops. So do be sensible. And another thing to think about is, I know it's not winter right now because it's summer, but guess what? You go into a shop right now and buy antifreeze, it's cheaper than you'll find the price will be in the winter.
Yeah.
Think about it. If your battery struggled last winter, you'll find it'll be cheaper to buy one in the summer, and the prices are often incredibly low.
Yeah.
And so buy at the wrong time of the year.
Buy logs and coal, because they're cheaper.
Absolutely. So all I'm going to say, boys and girls, as we wrap this one up, do use your loaf when you're shopping for bread. Ha ha.
Or buy it cheap.
Yeah. We will put all of this stuff up on as a fact sheet on the web for everybody to have a look at. And you can save yourself some money, and you don't have to put all the money in the coffers of these people that sell you extended warranties, big designer labels. And don't forget, you can often buy cheaper at the local market rather than the supermarket. Can save your pounds. Mm-hmm. We'll be back next week, boys and girls, with the usual postcard from Pop Brad, with me, Eric Wiltshire, and
me, Lee G. Banks, and the man who gets things right.
And Mark Gander. Goodbye.
You missed the founder of the Consumer Action Group, but never mind. Right. We'll do that with another time. See you later, boys and girls. Take care. Bye-bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.